Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
All right. Well, hey, good morning. How are we doing this morning? You guys good? Awesome. Awesome. You didn't see that. You didn't see that. Those of you joining us live stream, nothing happened. And Metro's in the house as well, guys. Metro is in the house. What's up? What's up? So, I was there last week with Metro, and I'll tell you what, though, it was crazy. If you've ever been at Metro, I just want you guys to know that these guys are a little crazy. They are. I mean, we're pretty cool, but those guys, Metro, you are nuts. I don't even know if you can call it church, honestly. Not quite sure if you can, but it's out there. But we are glad you're here, glad you're there, and if you're a guest here, glad you're here as well. Let me explain why this is on stage here. This, as we know, is a skateboard. Any skateboarders in the house? No. Skateboarders in the house. You guys are smart, because see, skateboarding is one of those things that I just feel like I am good at, but I'm not. Like, I feel like I am, but I'm really not good at skateboarding. And I don't know what it is. I just keep thinking that I'm actually good, but I'm really not that good. I'm like, do you have something like that? Like, do you know, like, in your head, you're like, I'm really good at this, but it's not true. Okay, let's ask the person next to you. Let's just do that. Okay, whoever you invited, just ask them, am I good at something? And I just tell me I'm not really good at it. Go for it. Just go for it. I'd love to know some answers here. Yeah, Metro, good, do it. Yeah. Live stream, yeah, do that up there, yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's get some answers. Let's get some answers. Okay. Any answers? Any good answers? Anybody?
Driving.
Wow, that's gonna be an interesting conversation. Ride home. Okay, what else? Anybody else? Here's what your problem is, hon. You are good, you're not good at getting anything done. Like, that's good. I like that. That's good. What else? Anybody else?
Singing.
That is, what is it? What is up with that, though? Because I just feel like I can sing too, and I can't. So anyways, I recently was on one of these bad boys, and so I'm from the Middle East, and yes, there's a lot of sand dunes there, and if you're thinking, you, skateboarding, sand, that's racist. Okay. I've been on this thing before, and every time I'm on this thing, hold on. I know how to do this. Okay, hold on. First of all, thank you. Yeah. That's it. That was it. Every time I'm on this, I think that I'm actually good at it, and I'm really not. It's the same thing when it comes to now. You might go, this is a stretch, but it's the same thing when it comes to love. Like, I think I'm a loving person until I read the Bible. And then I'm like, oh, why did I read the Bible again? You know, because I have a definition of love, and we all do. When it comes to our relationships, we all have a definition of what love is and what it could be. But do we really know what really love is? And so this morning, I want to talk about your definition of love and God's definition of love. And what does that even look like? And what does courageous love look like? We've been in a series called Courageous. And so we've been having this conversation about stepping into boldly into some areas of our life. And so this morning, it's love. What does it even look like? And so what I want to do is I want to acknowledge the fact that there's so many things written about love. And I know that I could not do a good job at actually really giving more insight into it. So I don't want to give you more answers. I don't want to give you steps. I just want to ask you two big questions that I think can redefine what love really looks like and what it is. And so let's jump into that. The first question, though, actually stems from this passage of scripture. So I'll read this to you. Okay, it's found in 1 John, and we'll put it on the screen for you as well. But 1 John says this, and I think we can all read it out loud, in fact. 1 John says this, okay? Let's say it out loud. We love because he first loved us. Okay, we love because he first loved us. The same translation in the Passion Translation, I'm sorry, same verse in this different translation, says this: our love for others is our grateful response to the love God first what? Demonstrated to us. And so this is pretty profound because God's reshaping what we think of love. He's defining love very different from human love. So one of the things that God claims to be, not just is or good at, he says he actually is love. God is light, but God is also what? Love. And he kind of staked the claim. He's like, my essence is love. I'm not loving. I'm not good at it. I'm actually love. And so what's interesting there is, and I think it's like kind of sneaky too, because if you're a follower of Jesus, you kind of understand this. But if you're a follower of any religion, if you think there's a God out there, you understand this. But if you don't believe there's a God out there, this is very sneaky for God to say, I am love, because every time an atheist loves people, he's acting like God. So it's like, it's sneaky. But what's interesting about this is there's so, it's so profound the way he says it. He says, this is John, one of the disciples. He says, I got to tell you, I've experienced love before, but I've realized that you can't really love like God loves unless his love for you has captivated you. If you don't understand his love, you don't know what love actually looks like and what it feels like and what it truly is. So what is love? So if we need to realign ourselves to that, I think we got to look at two passages, and I'm going to take him to them. And the two passages actually give us two questions that we need to kind of address. So the first passage actually asks us this simple question, and that is, are you loved? Are you loved? And some of you might say, yeah, of course I am. Of course I am. So before we jump into that, or before you answer that, or maybe you just said, oh yeah, of course I am. There's so many people who love me. Let's just talk about what this actually means. So let me go to Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 47. So Luke chapter 7, this is a passage. It tells a story about this woman who shows up to Jesus with Jesus. And so let me read it to you, okay? And this is so profound. I think it really makes us wonder, are you truly loved? Like, do we even understand what that means? So it starts off, it says, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus. Pharisee was a religious person. So a religious person invited Jesus, right? Just understand that. To have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table, which means is he said yes to it. He said yes to it, and he goes to all kinds of houses. You guys know this. If you don't know this, Jesus pretty much says yes to everything, right? I'll go with you. He has no idea of what reputation is and what, you know, image and all that. He just goes, and people talk bad about him. So he goes to a Pharisee's house. And then it goes on. It says, and a woman in that town who lived a what? It lived a sinful life. Sinful life, right? First of all, how do they know? Like, they're Instagram friends, Facebook friends. How do they know this person's sinful? I mean, maybe. I don't know. I mean, do we judge people based on their Facebook posts? Yeah. Yes, we do. We judge people. Yeah. Of course we do. So this sinful person learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. Alabaster jar of perfume. Okay. It goes on. It says, as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Now, something's happening there. The writer is just kind of giving us the cliff notes, but a lot of time has passed by. Things have happened. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself. He didn't say it out loud. He said to himself, which we know, if you say something to yourself and you think it, Jesus hears you. So If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a what? Sinner. She's a sinner. And then Jesus answered him, which is great. He's like, hey, let me talk to you about that. He's like, what? I didn't say anything. But really? Yeah, you did. You did say something. But I want you to understand what he did. He says, Simon, I have something to tell you. I think it was more, there was a lot more emotion there than what we think. I think at that point, there was so much going on between the woman and Jesus, and then this guy has this opposite thought. I think this is where tensions got really high. Because what I'm about to read, it will shock a lot of us. Because you would think that Jesus fully, full on, like, disses his host. Like, it's borderline embarrasses him. Because I think Jesus hit a point where, have you ever hit this point? So you see some things happen, and you're like, you know, whatever, whatever. And then finally, you can't take it. You're like, you know what? Let me say something about that. Have you ever done that? You're like, you know what? Can I say something? Or have you heard this from other people? Can I say something? You know something. Fire is coming out right there. You know it's about to, like, can I just have a minute? Oh, no. Oh, what's happening? What's happening? And I don't know if the Pharisee Simon understood, but Jesus was like, hey, can I have a minute? Can I just tell you something? He's like, what, teacher, what? He's like, let me tell you. Here it is. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. If you're a Pharisee, you're like, oh, crap. It's happening. He does these. He's rabbis, man. Let me tell you a story. And you're not the hero of the story, by the way. Never. You're never. If he's telling you the story, you are not the hero. Okay? But he goes, there were two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts to both. Now, which one of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose, which is a great answer. Like, I don't know. Have you ever tried to correct someone and they go, nah, I don't know, maybe. Maybe? Really? Maybe? Okay, I suppose what? You suppose what? The one who had the bigger debt forgiven. And then Jesus goes, you have judged correctly because you've been judging this entire time. By the way, this time you actually judged correctly. And then then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, can you just imagine, picture the scene, okay? He's like, you see her? Like, this is it. This is pretty intense, right? Pretty intense. And I want you to feel this because I want you to know how ticked off he is. He turned to the woman, towards the woman, and said to Simon, and I wonder, when he said this statement that I'm about to read to you, who was he looking to? Whose eyes was he staring into? Because he looks at her, he's talking to him, and he says this, do you see this woman? And right there, friends, it changes the game. It's like, right there, it's like, do you see? Because Simon, you haven't seen anything. And then he goes into it. And this is when fire comes out of him. He goes, do you see this woman? Because I came into your house, right? And you did not give me any water for my feet. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured out perfume on my feet. Now this entire time, who is he looking to? That's the question, right? He's looking at the woman and says, do you know, do you see? She has not. Like, I wonder if he's even paying attention, giving him any kind of attention. And then he looks straight up and he goes, And I wonder, I want to be in this moment. He goes, therefore, I tell you, and he's looking at her. He says, her many sins. Yes. Yes. Your many sins, right, have been what? Forgiven. As her great love has shown. And then what he says, he says, and whoever has been forgiven little, and I wonder at that point, he turns to Simon and goes, love little. I mean, this should blow your mind. Because here's why. Because I think all of us, at some point in our lives, get to a point that we ask this question, am I lovable? Based on what has happened to me or based on what's happened because of me, am I lovable? Can I be restored? Because I wonder if the woman walked in with the alabaster jar and was wondering what's going to happen. Was she planning on breaking it? I'm not sure. I think she was courageous enough to actually step into a highly religious environment. It's like a person that you know who goes, I'm not going to church. I will burst into flames. I have people tell me that. It's people go, oh, I cannot go there. I cannot go there. I can't walk in. Why? Because I can't put myself there. Because you are instantly going to be judged. Instantly. So she walks in and she's asking the question, can I be redeemed? Because yes, I've lived a sinful life. And we can only imagine the kind of life that she has. But no one grew up thinking, that's my game plan. No one. So I wonder, when Jesus looked at her, at some point she was like, I think he's going to allow me to touch him. I think I got my answer. And she breaks everything that she has. Her source of security breaks it and pours it on him, as if to say, I'm done trying to prove to everyone else that I am worth love. I'm done. And she breaks it. This is my security. I'm breaking it. And now, if you ask that woman, hey, are you loved? She's like, yes. I don't even know why, but I'm fully loved. Because I think when Jesus looked at her, he saw the little girl that was playing around not knowing that anything bad would happen in the world. That she wouldn't live a broken life being betrayed by people. Gotten to a point where she doesn't even know if she can be redeemed. Have you ever done that or said something or felt this way? I know I have. Can I actually be redeemed? Can this actually go back? And I think for humanity, that is the question that plagues so many of us. Am I good enough for you to love me? Because if you don't understand this, this is where we start. Because we don't even know it, but we tell people with our actions, by our words, by the vibe we give, prove to me you are lovable. Prove to me you're a good husband. Prove to me you're a good wife, a good parent, a good grandparent. Prove to me that you're a good student. You prove to me if you're a good Christian. Prove to me if you prove to me. Do the things. Because based on that, I will love you. Because how many of you, there's some people, they're just easy to love, right? They're just easy to love. Why? Because you like them and it's easy. Others, oh my gosh. You're like, oh. You're like, this is like learning to love the devil. Right? There are people, they're so easy to love. Others, oh my God, it's going to take all of Jesus and plus. It's like, whoa. And so we avoid them. Like, you know, it's just hard. Because our love is based on condition. It really is. And so when I ask you, hey, are you loved? You're going to, and because we're gonna go back to that one instance. We're going to go back to the closest connection we've had with God or with someone else and go, yes, I am, because I did this and because of that. It's not because of your essence. And God right here is saying, I love you. I fully love you. See, friends, if we don't understand this, you can't move forward. You can't. You can try. Obviously, you can love people without God. We know this. Atheists do it all the time. People who do it all the time. Why? Because Because here's the deal. God made us through love, and our essence is love. So we are going to do this. We're going to love. It's for some of us, not that well. For some of us, it's kind of twisted. But we're going to do this. And here, John says, let me just explain to you. I know you're wondering. Let me just explain. If you want to understand love and you want to be in a loving relationship, if you want to grasp love and learn how to interact with people in love, you got to be consumed, hijacked, taken hostage by God's love first. Because if you don't, you'll never understand the kind of love that God wants you to experience and to give. The kind of love God wants you to receive and give. You're never going to get it. You're never going to step into that. And so this woman courageously goes in going, I'm not quite sure. And she walks away, not even ever asking for forgiveness, right? Not ever asking. And he looks her straight in the eye and goes, I know what you came here for. And yes, the answer is yes. And to Simon, let me talk to you. Because here's the deal, Simon. Because Simon, you're operating in this idea that love is connected to what people provide. So when you came here, you invited me for the reputation. And you're excited about all the things I can do for you. Because you've always sought my hand. And for so many of us, we come to Jesus, and that's what it is. We come to God because we need help. I need you to do something for me. And did you see what happened? She doesn't go to his hand. She goes where? To his feet. Like all of a sudden, there's this like, she understands what love is. Love is not about what you get. Love is about sitting at someone's feet and serving them. It's saying, I am who I am. You know me. I'm going to courageously step into an environment that I could be rejected, but I'm going to do it. You know me. You see me. And God's saying, I see you. I know you. You're here. And I understand what you're trying to do. And she just does what? She does the thing that true love consistently makes us do. Serve. Because when you totally love someone, you just want to serve them. You don't want anything from them. You just want to serve them. So John says, let me tell you what true love is. Love is understanding that it is our grateful response to the love that God has demonstrated for us. So the question again is, are you loved? Have you ever had a moment where you're like, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Not based on anything I do, but I am. I totally am. You see, it's in the moment you feel the most wretched and yet most worthy, at the same moment is when you go, you do love me. Because I can't even pay it back. I can't even prove it. I can't prove that I'm worthy enough. So, are you loved? That's the question. And if you're here, you're going, Naeem, I've been trying to prove that because I'm a single adult, and guess what? I don't want to be single anymore. I just don't want to be single anymore. I don't. And it's consuming my mind. Okay? I go back and forth. I'm on apps. I'm not on dating apps. I am back. I'm in. I don't know what to do. I get it. Because our love when it comes to humanity is about based on what do you need to do? So the question is, okay, what do I need to do to be more attractive or to be more lovable or likable? But that is not, let me just tell you, that's not the issue. The issue is, have you been captivated? Have you been taken hostage? Have you encountered how much God loves you? Now, the second question is, do you love? Do you love? That's extremely challenging. I read this passage of scripture, and I really don't like this passage for a couple of reasons. Okay, first of all, I don't like it because it's 1 Corinthians 13, and it's the marriage ceremony verse. You know, you're like wondering what it is. You know, it's the whole love is this and love is that. Remember, love is patient, love is kind. Blah, you know, whatever, right? It's the one. It sounds beautiful. They do it in weddings, and you're like, yeah, but no one's going to live that out. But yeah, but it's awesome, and it kind of goes with the flow we got going on. But yeah. But if you read this in the Passion Translation, it changes the game. It starts off, it says, if I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words would be reduced to a hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. And if I were to have the gift of prophecy with a profound, not a simple, a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possessed unending, I mean, he's going all out. Unending supernatural, supernatural knowledge. And if I had the greatest gift of faith that could move mountains, but have never learned to love, then I am what? I am nothing. Have you ever met your hero and wished you never did? Like, I know there are people in my life that I'm like, I look at them, I admire them. I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to be like you, I want to talk like you, I want to be like you. Ah! And then I meet them and I go, you're a jerk. I mean, I don't say it. Maybe they're having a bad day for the last 20 years, but I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure. I'm not going to judge them. But I'm like, really, bro? Oh, I wish I didn't. Because from afar, it's easy to admire. From afar, yeah, you got to get close to love. You got to get close. And when people get close, they smell. There's all kinds of stuff. But here he's saying you could possess all these spiritual things and miss it. Miss it, which bothers me because I'm like, no, it's all about the supernatural gifts and the this and the that and the this and the that. Who wouldn't want to have all of this? And he's saying nothing, which, by the way, he's not writing this because he was like, oh, you guys are getting married? I'm going to write you something. This is going to be beautiful. And he starts writing it. This is Paul, by the way. You know where he is right now? Not at a wedding ceremony. He's in prison. He's on death row. His conditions are terrible. People are mistreating him every day. And he goes, I'm going to write something that will weddings all over the U.S. No! He's not thinking that. He's like, I don't know if anyone's going to read this, but I got to write this down. I could have all these things, and if I am not loving, I have missed the boat. Then he goes on and says, and if I were to be so generous as to give away everything I own to feed the poor and to offer my body to be burnt as a martyr, which he was, without pure motive of love, I would gain what? Nothing of value. This is Paul going, if I die for God and my heart, my motive is not pure, it's not a service to him, it's like, oh, so everybody will write about me? I'm missing the whole point then. And then he goes and says this, and I love the Passion Translation. It says, love is, oh, this is so good. It says, love is large and incredibly patient. Have you ever met people who are just small-minded? Not small people. They're just so small-minded. And they're not patient at all. And he says, let me tell you what love is. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and what? Consistently what? Kind to some people we really like. To all? Really? It refuses to be... Oh, this is not good. It refuses to be jealous when blessings comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements or inflate its own importance. Well, I gotta get off social media then. What? Verse 5, love, oh, this is good. Love does not, read this out loud. This is crazy. Love does not what? Traffic and shame. Oh, man, and disrespect. Man, I don't know about you, I got stuck there. Traffic. I come from a shame culture. And what that means is like we think shame is motivational, you know? So we're like, you're a failure. And you're like, no, I'm not. I'm going to do better. Like, it's, and that's what I heard. I heard, I mean, I actually did fail a lot of classes and repeated fifth grade three times. But anyways, it doesn't matter. I didn't graduate from high school either. Yeah, I do have a college degree, okay? But in some states, I have a college degree. South Carolina. Thanks, Nicole. But I sometimes you don't even know, and you're shaming the people you love. And you're shaming them all day long because you compare them to everybody else. And parents, don't do that. Don't compare your kids. Okay? I mean, your therapist will love it later because they'll get all the money, but don't do that. And then it says, nor selfishly seeks its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Really, Paul? You're writing this? Love is not, oh my gosh. Verse 6, love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Okay, that's good. Okay. And then says this. This is a hard one. Love is a safe place for shelter. It never stops believing the best for others. Love is a safe place of shelter. You know, if there's one thing that coming into Christianity and coming into what church looks like, this is something that's really that bothers me, because churches are not a safe place, most of them. I hate to say it, but they're not. They're just not. There are a lot of other reasons. I'm not quite sure why, but they're not. They're not a safe place. And safe places where you accept people for who they are, you protect them and you guard them, you cover them, you cover their shame, you cover everything. And I don't know what went wrong. Like, if people go, the devil is doing this, and the enemy is doing this, and evil people are changing all kinds of things and policies and all kinds of stuff, and people like to do that, and they just stop. They gotta just stop and go, okay, but what are we doing? Because I tell you what we're doing, we're letting the hate and prejudice and the antichrist, not Christ, the antichrist into our lives and into our churches when we don't create safe places for people. So my good friend Lauren leads a. Leads the worship here, Lauren Jones, and she led this morning, obviously. She's amazing. And I don't know what it is, but I think she thinks I'm black. I don't know what it is. So, you know, before Black History Month, like last month, she started sending me these things, okay? So the first thing she sent me is, she's like, hey, so it's a post or a gift or I don't know what it is, but she just sent me this picture. And it says, I'm black all the year round, but next month, I'm blackity black black. I was like, okay, haha, funny, hilarious, this is hilarious. Then another 90s videos about the Blackity Black song or something. I'm like, what are you doing? Then she sent me another one. I'm like, what are you doing? Girl, you know I'm not black, right? Right? And she's like, I know, but I need you to know I'm black. I was like, okay, we got it. We got it. She's like, okay, just want you to know I'm black. Okay, I'm like, got it. But you know why we joke about this? Because there was a real conversation we had a year ago about this question, and she posed it. She's like, how black can I be at church? And I was like, oh girl, I know exactly what you're talking about, because I have thought the same thing. Not how black I can be, which would be cool, by the way. But by the way, there's a guy here, he is half Pakistani and half black. Where is he? You're here somewhere, right? Shahid, where are you? There he is. There he is. When he told me, I was like, no! You got to meet Lauren. So where was I? I don't even know where I was. You distracted me here. Black, Pakistani. Oh, yeah, there it is. So she poses this question, and this was a long conversation. And I said, hey, I know what you're talking about. Because when I became a pastor, so, and then started just interacting in church, and then The church I was a part of was an amazing church, but predominantly white church, you know? And then actually we left the church. They sent us off, and they were amazing, because we wanted to create a diverse community. But all along, deep in me was like, how Pakistani can I really get? And here's why. Because even the place I was trying to create was not safe for me. Because I did not know that the Christian world could take an ex-Muslim Pakistani in the midst of like all kinds of terrorist attacks. Because, I mean, I've got stuff, you know, told to me, I mean, racist comments, I mean, just all kinds of things. And I don't talk about it. I don't really, not that I don't care, it doesn't bother me in a sense, but I know that it messed with me a little bit because it made me question, can I be myself? Can I actually be Pakistani? And for years, I would not talk about it. I would not talk about the fact that I'm actually an ex-Muslim. Because you know what people question here at Mosaic? They question if I'm making this stuff up. I mean, I've had people straight up say, I think you're faking it. I think you're pretending to be a Christian so you can infiltrate or the church. Because you're really a terrorist. And these are good Christian people who've never read this. Never. What are you talking about? A safe place? What are we talking about? Oh, I gotta build me a shelter. No! That's not it. It never stops believing the best for others. Then it goes on and says, love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never what? Stops what? Loving. And so often, friends, so often, I don't know what it is, because a message like this seems so like, oh, yeah, it's for the, you know, give me something deeper. Stop. Stop. Don't you do that. Don't be Simon the Pharisee. Don't do that. I want something deeper. Here's what happens, right? A guy goes to Jesus. I want something deeper. Here's what I want. I know all the commandments. Let me just ask you straight up. What is the deepest? What is the thing? What is the main? Give me the skinny, bro. What is it? What is the biggest thing? If I can't do anything else, if there's one commandment to rule them all, what is it? And he goes, all right. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. And then love your neighbor as you love what? Yourself. And the guy had the audacity to say, well, who's my neighbor? And then Jesus goes into a whole story about that. You know why? Because for some reason, and I'm just talking to people who are church people, for some reason, we take the biggest commandment, the most important thing, that all the other commandments hinge on. Everything hinges on that, this commandment. That's what Jesus said. Everything. He's like, no. Let's talk about the tribulation. Let's talk about Holy Spirit sanctification. Let's talk about, stop. Everything rests on this one thing. What is it? Give me something deep. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because God claimed to be what? Love. You want to act like me? You want to be me? You want to live out of my essence? You have to love. And so often we take this and we go, this is so beautiful and I'm going to put it here. So I love. But let's talk about some real issues. And God's like, oh my gosh, you're missing the whole point. So why can't be churches be the most safest place? Why can't be? Why can't we just get this right? I mean, why can't we just go stop the nonsense? Oh yeah, but I don't agree with their lifestyle. I don't agree with their beliefs. I don't agree with that statement. I don't agree. Who cares what you believe? Who cares about your opinion? Because guess what? Everybody's got one. The most important thing, have an opinion and stick to it. And people ask me, you know, where you stand on this issue? Where you stand on this issue? And you know what I've told them? I don't stand with issues. I sit with people. That's it. That's it. All right, yes, you clap. But you know why? Because it's a lot harder to sit with someone. It's so much easier to stand on an issue. Everybody does that. It's for the weak. But you sit with someone who's lost everything, who... it changes you. And when you're like crying over someone else's brokenness, you are more like God than you'll ever be. So can we get this right? Can we courageously love people where Pharisees and religious people are going, I can't believe it. I can't believe that he's associating. I can't believe. And can we just look at the people and go, I see you. I just see you. And I love you. I mean, we're not expert at this, guys. But come on, wouldn't it be worth spending the rest of your life getting good at one thing? And it just happens to be the most important thing. What if God was like, you got it right? Because all the other people focused on prophecy and knowledge, faith to move mountains, all kinds of things. And you got it right. So this morning, if you're one of those going, I don't know if I'm redeemable. I don't know. Things have happened to me. Things have happened because of me. I have so much regret, so much shame. Honestly, I can't even tell everybody everything because I don't even know if people will love me. The most courageous thing you can do is to show up and sit at his feet. The courageous thing you can do this morning is go, God, do you see me? I'm going to let you see me. What if you were to do that? Wherever you are, I know there are people in Metro. Like you just thought that right now. Does he see me? He sees you. And he loves you. And he's not waiting for you to prove that you are worthy of his love. Because he knows if he does that, he will change your very essence. And you will love like he loves. Because this is how we know we love, right? This is love. It is a grateful response to the love that God has demonstrated for us by dying on the cross for us, for not wanting anything from us, but wanting to sacrifice himself so he can make a way for us to the Father. This is love. So why wouldn't we this morning go, I'm just at your feet and I'm saying, just take me. I give you my life. I take all the security I have and I just break it in front of your feet. I can't collect it. I don't want it. I give you my life, Jesus. What if you were to do that? I think it will radically change the way you kind of love people. It would totally transform your life. So let me pray for us. Can we do that? Let's stand together. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for... God, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for loving my friends here. I thank you. See, I don't even know, God, how much you love them because I don't know them. But you know them. I can only say that I know how much you love me because I know the darkness in me. I know my own sin, God. I don't need anyone to point it out. I know. I know. I just don't understand how you could still forgive me, restore me, love me. So this morning, I just respond to your love. I say, God, take it all. Take everything. Take my life, Jesus. Forgive me. Restore me. And Father, I pray for us who've never been consumed by your love, who've been challenged this morning. God, I know I have. To keep the main thing, to love you with everything that I am, and then to love my neighbor, and to love the people around me, to give them as much grace as I give myself, to give them as much patience and love and kindness and honor as I give myself. God, I pray that over us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.